everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. I'm your humble, gracious, and sexy host, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my brother, Scotty Too Hottie, Dougie.
Yo.
And we're here with Sexual Chocolate, Eric.
What's up?
How's everyone doing tonight?
I thought you were going to call him Grandmaster.
Pretty good.
Actually, no, if you would have called him Grandmaster Sex,
it makes me Rikishi. Fuck you. Yeah, I guess it fits. How's everybody doing tonight? We all have a good week?
Pretty good.
Yes, we did.
I got to say this off the top real quick. You know, it was a pretty interesting week, you know, in wrestling. Obviously, today, Shad Gaspard has been announced. He's getting the Warrior Award.
Thank God, yeah.
I think that Warrior Award is absolutely useless a lot of times, but they're giving it to the right person this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he definitely deserves it. But anybody that didn't watch Dynamite this past week, they did a spot, you know, a Private Party. Discount Street Profits did their gin and juice spot, which is the Frankensteiner into the cutter.
Yeah.
And they were going to do it to Sting. And Sting, you know, Mark Quinn, you know, does the Frankensteiner. Sting jumps in and tries to catch Isaiah Cassidy in the Scorpion Death Drop. Well, Isaiah Cassidy botched. That's why he's a Discount Street Profit. Botched the drop, right? So Sting had to turn it into a dragon sleeper and then had to try to stand back up. The problem is Sting just turned 63. So a 63-year-old trying to get up, very quickly usually doesn't happen. But God bless him for trying these big-ass spots that he's been trying since he's been in AEW.
And for the Discount Street Profits, I would say that I do think Private Party are probably the better workers.
I think they're more athletic.
Not during that, but they have put on some pretty good matches. Out of all the teams in AEW, I think Private Party has none of the personality that Street Profits have. Like, zip, zilch, nada. I don't think they're entertaining at all. But I enjoy their wrestling, and I think they work really well.
I do think, though, that Isaiah Cassidy did kind of, you know, redeem himself from the way he took – or with the way he took – the death drop when Sting finally dropped him.
Yeah.
I mean, Sting actually dropped, because I think Sting was pissed, so Sting actually dropped him straight on his fucking head.
Yeah.
And
he's probably the better worker in the group, too. I think he's better than Mark Quinn.
Yeah.
He's more athletic.
Yeah, and he's had more, I mean, Mark Quinn's been hurt.
Yeah.
But, no, just, I just had to give a quick shout out to Sting there, because he's just, like, at 63 years old, still doing the shit that he's doing.
He's in good shape, too.
Huh?
Okay, he's in good shape for 53.
Yeah, he is.
So, like, just, like, Sting is just, I mean, doing fantastic, you know, fantastic. I really like the stuff he's doing with Darby.
And he's the only, like, legend that they brought in that I feel like actually contributes to the product.
Definitely. You want me to get through the plugs real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Do the plugs.
Listen to Boxman and Smirk, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday night, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time. Catch them Mixler.com/Hollywood Hangout, Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the Hollywood Hangout. Catch us 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Tonight, we're tier ranking WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania 8, their matches.
Yes.
Next week, we're going to talk Undertaker's WrestleMania undefeated streak. April 8th will be the tribute episode to the bad guy, Razor Ramon, you know, Scott Hall. We're going to get that not out of the way, but we're going to do that April 8th. And April 15th is going to be something. We're going to go back to the year 1997. We're going to talk the April 14th, 1997 edition of WCW Monday Nitro, because that happened to be in Philadelphia.
So the Undertaker thing's next week?
Yes.
Cool.
Undertaker thing is next week, and then I'll announce what's going to happen on the 22nd and the 29th, probably next week. Also, Saturday night. Now, tomorrow night there will be no show. Daniel and I have prior engagements this weekend. But next Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted/unscriptedunlimited. Next week will be the Ninja Turtle retrospective. Then, of course, catch Daniel and Mindy, 3 p.m. or no, 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes.
Sunday for the Scaredy Cats.
We will be doing, we'll be going back to the year 1982. As a DC fan, I'm excited because we are doing the Swamp Thing. Directed by Wes Craven, 1982 monster movie, really good flick. I'm excited to get into it. We're also going to be talking about monster movies as a whole and why the genre kind of died off in horror. So big episode.
Awesome. Then make sure you catch our buddy Sean, Elite Diplodoc, on the YouTube. And I'm pretty sure that's all I have to plug, right? All right, so that's it for the plugs.
All right, let's get into it, gentlemen. We'll start with WrestleMania 3 because that, you know, came first. We're not going to get into the whole review situation like we usually would. We're just hearing the matches. But WrestleMania 3 was a great event, and we will probably get into it and review it another time.
By the way, in 4 days would be the 35th anniversary.
And they talk about long WrestleManias now. I mean, a lot of these were short matches, but you get, this is a 12-match card, Doug.
Yeah, it's about 3 hours and 5 minutes. I mean, and the funny thing is that a lot of people would not change anything about that. There's a couple things I think people would change, but the special thing about a lot of, especially about this WrestleMania, it more than half the matches had a special build. Because quite a few of these matches have been building for like 3 months.
It was a big build.
Yeah.
And it was cool because this is one of the cards where like almost every match had a story.
Yeah. Almost every match had a story. Almost every match had a build. Some were obviously, I mean, you go back, you know, Piper and Adonis and Race and Junkyard Dog, you know, those matches had basically been built since the first Saturday night's main event. Or not the first Saturday night's main event, but the Saturday night's main event at the first of the year.
Right.
All right. And well, even before that, because that's when it all started. But, and then, of course, obviously, you got the Hogan Andre thing, the Savage Steamboat thing, the six-man with the Hart Foundation and Danny Davis against Tito Santana and the Bulldogs. That was a huge build. You know, a Billy Jack Haynes and Hercules Hernandez had a build. Honky Tonk Man and Jake Roberts, there was a build there. I mean, yeah, so there was a lot of stories here.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the first match. The Can-Am Connection, which is Rick Martel and Tom Zenk, against Bob Orton and the Magnificent Don Morocco, also known as The Rock back in the day, with Mr. Fuji in their side. Martel and Zenk get the win here. It goes about 5 minutes. What do you guys think? Where would you put this?
I thought it was... You would say average, Eric? Oh. By the way, the tiers are classic, very good, average, below average.
We'll keep below average as meh.
Yeah. So meh, and then garbage.
The garbaccio, the trash.
All right. So Eric said average on that?
Yeah.
I'm actually going to stay very good, and it's not just the fact that, like, the Facebook group, you know, facebook.com/group/oldschoolwrestling, you know, they praised this match
because
I was asking them, like, what do you think are some of the most underrated matches of WrestleMania 3? But also, for a five-minute match, they were gonna push the Can-Am Connection very hard.
Yeah.
And I do think they worked very well as a team. I thought they were a very good team, and, you know, Orton and Morocco were fantastic.
Right.
So I'm actually going to say very good for a short match.
Yeah, I thought for an opener, I'd go very good, too. I like this one. It had a lot of action for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I just love Rick Martel. I don't know. Billy Jack Haynes and Hercules.
Oh.
This is trash to me. I didn't. Bobby Heenan was cool at ringside, but that's about it.
The Battle of the Full Nelsons. I like Hercules. I was always a fan of his. Billy Jack Haynes to me was dog shit.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say garbage.
Yeah, I'm gonna say garbage too.
All right, now we got the battle of the little guys. We got Hillbilly Jim, Haiti Kid, and Little Beaver against King Kong Bundy, Little Tokyo, and Lord Littlebrook. Ended by disqualification, Hillbilly's team went over. I thought this was a fun little distraction.
It was. I mean, this is actually the one match that a lot of people in the Facebook group said they should have gotten rid of. What's actually funny is the match ended by disqualification because Bundy slammed the Little Beaver and then dropped the elbow on him. By the way, he was only supposed to drop him with the slam. He wasn't supposed to drop the elbow. But the little guys were supposed to come in and intervene, but they missed their cue. So, and Bundy didn't want to just sit there and look like an idiot. So he's like, all right, fine. I'm going to drop the elbow on him.
Yeah.
I thought this was goofy, but it involved Hillbilly Jim and a bunch of little people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was okay with it. I would just say average.
I go meh. Okay. I thought it was all right. It was a fun little distraction, but does it need to be there? Probably not. What do you think, Eric?
I thought it was average.
All right, let's go ahead.
It wasn't nothing special, but it was good for what it was.
All right. Harley in the Junkyard in a Loser Must Bow match, which... And by the way, Harley has Bobby Heenan and the Fabulous Moolah. The interesting about this match is if it took place like 3 to 5 years earlier, it could be a main event anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
Both guys were a little past their prime, but as big fans of both these, I mean, Harley Race is one of my favorites of all time, and I love Junkyard. This was like the one performance in both of their, you know, WWF careers that really wasn't mailed in. And like, they had fun with it. I'd say it was very good.
And it was a big build.
I think the wrong guy won, but still.
Here's the thing. If this match would have happened in, like, Mid-South, JYD would have gone – well, first of all, it would have gone more than 4 minutes.
Yeah. Well, for these two at the time, I think 4 minutes is okay.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
I kind of like the thing at the end where, like, JYD, he gave the little curtsy, he bowed like he was supposed to, and then he nailed Race in the throat with the chair.
It was hilarious. And his fun little bow was like, he's just like, yeah. And he decks him.
I love JYD. So, yeah, I'm actually going to say very good on this, too, because it may not have been a classic wrestling match, but, I mean, JYD was still over with the crowd.
Yes.
You know, 93,000, well, I mean, the fictitious 93,000 people, well, they say it was 93,000, but like 93,000 people on their feet and, you know, going nuts for this guy. He's still over at the time. Yeah, I'm going to say very good.
Okay, very good.
All right. Put it in very good, my boy. And let's go Dream Team and the Rougeau. Those guys. The Dream Team were the heels, right?
Yeah.
And they were with Johnny Valiant, who a legend and one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, Dino Bravo, in their corner. The Dream Team. It was fine. It was fun. I mean... To me, this wasn't my favorite match.
And Brutus actually turned babyface like right after because they left him in the ring because he didn't like the fact that they cheated the win.
Yeah.
The funny thing is I really – well, no, I shouldn't say I don't like any of these guys because I do like Brutus. But
I respect Valentine, though.
I do respect Valentine because he is one of the toughest son of a bitches out there.
Yeah. You can say he was a boring wrestler, but if you really go back and watch a Valentine match, he kind of wasn't.
I wouldn't tell him he's boring to his face.
I think he was – I liked his physical stiff style. He was kind of like a Benoit before Benoit.
Yeah. I really didn't like – I didn't care about this match.
Yeah.
But I really don't want it because I do think that they put the work in. Again, only 4 minutes, but they put the work in.
And the Rojus were better as heels anyway, weren't they?
Yeah, no, they weren't a good baby face. You cannot like Jacques Rougeau. No. And that's like that would be like, you know, people in Philadelphia liking the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Right? So... like, Jacques Rougeau is not a likable person. But I can't, because I do respect, and I do think the guy's put the work in, I cannot put it in garbage, but I would say meh. I would say below average.
I would agree.
I think garbage.
All right, we'll put it below average anyway. Roddy Piper and Adrian Adonis, the body, with Jimmy Hart in a hair versus hair match. This was entertainment personified.
I don't even care that the match really was. It wasn't a great wrestling match, but this is sports entertainment.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I love Adrian Adonis because he was hilarious.
I am a huge Piper fan. And this was technically Piper's swan song for a while. He would leave for a little bit. I actually like this match. So,
Adrian Adonis was really before his time.
He was. And the thing is, when he got to the WWF at the time, he was not, like, really in the best of shape.
No, yeah, but they kind of played off that, too.
Yeah.
And that's why I like the body gimmick on him.
Oh, the adorable thing.
Yeah, the adorable thing. And I thought he was hilarious. Just like dressing like a girl, which that wasn't, accepted at all at that time.
No.
And he was fun.
I mean, he basically, it was next level Gorgeous George.
Yeah. And it almost a precursor to Goldust in a way, too.
Exactly. So I'm actually going to say, it's not a classic match, but I'm going to say very good because I was entertained throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, I'd agree. It was a fun time. What do you think, E Nasty?
I think below average.
All right, well, we're going to put it very good. Actually, let's put it in average.
All right, yeah.
All right. Danny Davis and the Hart Foundation. Danny Davis. Versus Tito Santana and the British Bulldogs.
The wrong team won.
Yeah.
Because this was supposed to be like a revenge for... the Bulldogs and Tito. Wrong tube. And it turned out not to be. And the fact that Danny Davis got the pin, like, the match was fine. The ring work was great. Even though Dynamite really couldn't move.
Yeah.
But wrong team won. So I'm just going to say average.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Yeah, I would say average. It was disappointing to me. I thought it would be a better match, especially considering the four guys that were in the match. Four to six.
Yeah, I was in Eric, it's a six-man tag. How can there only be four
guys?
Well,
he meant four of them are good, but I think he's doing Tito Santana a disservice. Because Tito's the fucking man. I'd say five and the six. Danny Davis had no business being there, but everybody...
Oh, yeah, five and six.
The only person that is actually a better worker than Tito Santana is Bret Hart.
I agree.
Because, I mean, and no disrespect to Davey Boy and Neidhart, because I do think they're both tremendous.
Well, Dynamite was tremendous.
Yeah, I think Dynamite's overrated.
His wrestling or just... him as a person, because like I get he's a piece of shit, but his wrestling is pretty good.
I'm not a fan of his ring work.
Okay.
So you can at me all you want.
I mean, he was stiff, but I thought he was good.
Yeah, I never saw the appeal.
Okay.
Oh my God, am I going to get shot?
A lot of people would think that Dynamite was the worker of the group.
Yeah, I don't know. I like Davey better.
I like Davey better, too. Yeah.
Where's the
average? What?
Oh, never mind. I couldn't find a mouse for a second.
You're a mouse. Stevie didn't join the chat.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, Butch Reed and Coco. Goes 3 minutes. I like Butch Reed and I like Coco. This is still a meh match, though.
It was a match that you could have done without, I think.
But I like both guys, and I'm glad you put it on the card. Fuck it. It's good filler.
I mean, I like both guys, too.
Yeah.
So
it would have been nice to see Coco win one, but...
Right.
He was so entertaining, though. He's like the greatest jobber ever.
Exactly. Like, I'm always happy to see Coco get a spot on the card.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'll say mad or below average too.
You gotta say sorry.
All right.
Eric's just trying to be different.
Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage. Ricky's got George Steele. Randy's got Miss Elizabeth. This is babyface versus babyface, right?
No, Savage is still a heel.
This is probably one of the. It's crazy that it only went 15 minutes looking at it now because it's one of the greatest matches of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. Both guys worked their asses off. And you were on the – this was like – people look at this WrestleMania and they're like, Hogan and Andre was the spectacle. But the match was Randy and Ricky.
Yeah. I think you would have to go classic in here because if we don't, there's going to be a fucking angry mob waiting outside the door.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's okay. We could just throw mom at him. But,
I hear you.
Well, yeah, if there's going to be an angry mob waiting outside our door, don't come for about another 20 minutes. But anyway, no, I would say classic. I mean, because it was better than what the WWF was, better wrestling than what the WWF was doing at the time.
Not even better, just the best.
Yeah.
It was the best wrestling they put on at that time. So I think that's classic in its own right. What do you think, Eric?
Oh, definitely. Absolute classic. It was probably the best match on the card.
You can still go back, watch that, and respect it for what it is.
Yeah.
It ages beautifully. Honky Tonk Man and Jake Roberts. Jake Roberts has Alice Cooper, and Honky Tonk's got Jimmy Hart. I thought this was actually pretty fun.
Again, wrong guy went over. I get, though, that they were trying to push Honky.
Well, you also had some big babyface moments on this thing. So a couple heels did have to go over.
Well, let's kind of go back here. I mean, Billy Jack and Hercules ended in a double count-out, but technically Hercules went over.
Yeah.
Because he got the last laugh, right?
Yes.
Then you had Race, Dream Team, Danny Davis, Butch Reed. So, obviously, Honky was six, and then the next match at seven. So, seven heels come out on top.
Yes.
Over five. I mean, and that was not typical WWF booking, because there was always babyface territory, babyfaces. The majority of the babyfaces had to go over.
Yeah, but Hogan also has to fight other people. You got to build up other heels. Heels have to win sometimes. I thought the way they did it was beautiful. Because those seven heels, it was all mid-card shit. And then you get your two huge moments in Steamboat and Hogan. And then you can throw Piper in there and stuff. And, you can throw, I guess, Hillbilly, even though that was DQ. But you have your two big babyface moments, and that's what everyone remembers on the card.
I mean, Jake and Alice did get the last laugh, which, by the way, Jimmy Hart was scared to death.
Yeah.
Like, when they put that snake on him, he was legitimately trying to get away. And Jake was holding Jimmy down, said, Jimmy, I have to do this. And he kept trying to tell Jake, he goes, Jake, I'm definitely afraid of snakes. I'm going to have a heart attack. And that made Jake try to hold him down even more. And Jake and Honky, by the way, did not like each other.
Well, yeah, two totally different personalities.
But I think babyface Jake Roberts, not my favorite, but there's no better person to put with a babyface Jake Roberts than Alice Cooper. I think that was a great pairing.
It was. I mean, again, I thought it was actually a really good match.
Yeah.
I do think the wrong guy went over, but I do agree with like how they did it, because it could not have been like a clean, like.
And you just had the Steamboat big moment, so you let a couple of heels go over and then give Hogan his moment.
Right.
I don't mind the booking strategy at all. But yeah, I'd say this was very good.
Oh, Liz.
I would say average, but it's up to Eric to break the tie.
Could probably say trash.
I'll say average.
All right, very good it is. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'll put it up at top.
Iron Sheik and Nikita Koloff versus the Killer Bees.
Nikolai Volkov.
What, did I say Nikita?
Yeah.
Nikolai Volkov, who actually, I love Nikolai Volkov, but this match sucked.
Yeah, because all it was mainly used to do was get Duggan over.
Yeah.
I really didn't like it. I've got nothing against any of the guys in this match, by the way.
Yeah.
I actually like all four guys.
Well, Brunzel was better with Gagne, though. I like the high flyers, even though they weren't really high flyers.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, no, this match was garbage.
Yeah, I agree.
Feel to me, garbage.
All right, main event time, boys. Steak and potatoes. Hulk and Andre with Bobby, the slam heard around the world. Of course, this isn't like a 5-star wrestling match, but this is a classic WrestleMania match and probably Hogan's biggest moment.
It sold the pay-per-view.
And it sold like every other pay-per-view too, because you see it in the video package. You know, this is one moment has been shown so many fucking times. Like Hogan and Andre is the pinnacle. And that is like, that's sports entertainment at its finest. Not wrestling, but it's sports entertainment at its finest. And these two really popped the crowd. Andre was a great heel, and Hogan really, you know, he was the guy. As much as a fan of we are of Hogan, which we're not, this is Hogan's prime, and this is him showing what he can do. And against Andre was kind of the perfect opponent. And those guys, they had good chemistry, even though Andre had trouble moving, but. It was a fun time, and Heenan fucking going nuts at ringside, gorilla on commentary. Like, it was just great. It's a classic match.
Yeah, because, again, it sold the pay-per-view. Nobody thought, you know, this is something that nobody ever thought they would see. Because everybody thought Andre was going to win the title. Nobody, figured, oh, you know, they're not going to beat Andre.
Yeah.
But Andre passed the torch. Because he knew it was the right thing to do. I mean, I agree. Like, it might not be a classic wrestling match, but this is one of the greatest WrestleMania moments.
I mean, it broke a fucking... Yeah. How long of an undefeated streak did Andre have?
15 years.
I mean, supposedly. Apparently, because didn't Bill After get in trouble? Because, a local show let Andre lose one time, and Bill After put it in the newspaper, and it was a big deal. I'm pretty sure that happened.
Yeah. Oh, when Andre, they killed Toronto, the Sheik's territory or something.
Yeah.
Because they brought it, because Sheik was working, Sheik was like a big deal up in Toronto, you know, back in the old territory days. And they brought Andre in to try to beat the Sheik, and Sheik threw the fireball 3 minutes in. Andre got counted out, killed the territory.
Yeah, and then Bill After put it in the Illustrated, Andre loses.
Yeah.
And it was a big fucking deal.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people were pissed off, too, a lot of the bookers. But this was classic. This is a classic match.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Not the greatest wrestling match, but it's still talked about today.
Exactly. Now let's move on to 8, gentlemen. Doug's favorite WrestleMania. Still don't know why. But it did have some good shit on there. Dark Match doesn't matter as much as we love the Bushwhackers. Their agent sucks, but we do love the Bushwhackers. And
the Beverly Brothers are what they are. We won't talk about it, though, because we didn't see it. What we did see was the opener with Shawn Michaels and Sensational Sherry, which I love that pairing, against Tito. Shawn gets the win. Great opener. I think this is a very good match. Great workers.
By the way, it was supposed to be Shawn Michaels versus Marty Jannetty because that's what they were going to build towards. But Marty actually had to spend 6 months in house arrest, so
yeah. He
couldn't make the booking.
Marty had demons.
So they put Tito in there because they figure, okay, you know, Tito will help get Shawn over. I thought this was a very good match. I thought the commentary in this opening match was awesome, especially like when Tito hit his move, that shot to the back of the head, that El Paso Duarte.
Yeah.
And Gorilla called it by its name, and Heenan goes, "What'd you say, extra hot Pace Picante?" And which, by the way, Pace Picante had, like, the product had technically just come out. Like, it was a new product at the time.
He didn't know his shit.
Yeah. And I just thought that line still sticks in my head. I love this match. I mean, it may have had like a goofy finish where like Tito just kind of hit his head and, you know, they got the three count. So it may have been an abrupt finish. I thought it was a good opener. I thought Shawn Michaels was on a string of awesome WrestleMania openers.
Yeah, this is when he was really becoming a star and we were watching it happen.
Yeah.
Eric, you got to have a lot of love for this.
Yeah, this was a good match. Both guys worked hard. I give it a very good. I enjoyed it. I like classic HBK heel with Sherry.
Yeah, I mean, this was, in 10 minutes, the 10 minutes didn't drag, by the way.
And out of all the people you put with Sherry, one of my favorite managers of all time, I really liked her and Shawn together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was like the sexy boy and this cool like douchebag, and he had this just badass woman next to him. It was cool. Yeah, very good. Very good. Now let's go Undertaker and Jake Roberts. This was weird, and something on paper, people would be like, oh, this was classic, right? But it really wasn't. This was around the time Undertaker moved kind of slow because that's what he thought he was supposed to do as the dead man character.
Yeah.
But, it was what it was. It was okay. It wasn't the streak yet, or it wasn't really anything big or important. And like we said, babyface Jake Roberts isn't the best Jake Roberts.
Well, no, this was heel Jake.
Oh, it was heel Jake?
Yeah, Undertaker was a babyface.
Okay.
They had just done the turn where they were partners, and then when Jake tried to hit Elizabeth with a chair at Saturday night's main event, Undertaker stopped him.
Yeah.
Which nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
And which was weird. He's 20 minutes off of teaming with Flair. And then he backstabbed the guy that was technically his best friend in the back. And it was weird because, again, this match, too, Jake had to be forced to get out to the ring. He had already quit.
In real life?
He was getting a spot on creative.
Yeah.
Okay? But he wanted the spot. He wanted Pat Patterson's spot because Pat Patterson had legal issues to deal with.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon was not going to do that to Pat Patterson.
Yeah.
He said, "Pat, this is Pat's spot. When he clears all this shit up, which the attorney Jerry McDivitt was working on, then Pat gets his job back." Jake Roberts didn't like it. Jake Roberts said, "All right, fuck it, I'm done. I'm not even showing up to WrestleMania 8. And they do this thing, but he gets there, and there was supposed to be this whole thing where Undertaker was, you know, supposed to have his way with him and all that. And the matches turned out shitty. I'm going to say meh.
Yeah, me too.
Because that was not the play and finish. The play and finish was Tombstone in the middle of the ring. But Jake, he was doing all this bullshit. He went to the outside. Undertaker finally had a fuck enough and said, "Fuck it, I'm tombstoning you on the goddamn floor."
Which was cool, but... Not enough to save the match. I'd say it's meh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say it's meh.
Now, Piper and Hart, this was babyface versus babyface, right?
Correct. Eric, what were you going to say?
I was going to say it wasn't the best Undertaker's match at WrestleMania, but it wasn't the worst.
Yeah. No, Giant Gonzalez gets that.
Yeah, or Bundy. But no, to answer your question, yes, this was babyface versus babyface.
That's the only thing I didn't like about the match. But besides that, I'd actually go Bret and Piper for classic.
The funny thing is that Piper worked as the heel in this match.
Yeah, pretty much. But he was technically the baby, right? That's why I was kind of confused.
Yeah, he was technically a babyface, but he switched over to the heel role.
Which a good worker does.
Yeah. And this, again, it was, you know, we talked a few minutes ago about Andre passing the torch to Hogan, making Hogan a star. This is what Piper did.
Yes.
For Bret. He made Bret a star.
And Piper always liked Bret, and they always had good chemistry, too.
Well, they were friends for years.
Their WCW stuff was fun. This was fun.
Yeah. And what's also, again, funny about this match, WWF had a no blading policy at the time. Bret and Piper said, you know what, we're going to get some color. Bret was able to hide it. Make it look like he got busted open hard way.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, for anybody that doesn't know what that means, hard way basically means you get busted open, you know, from like either a fist or
like real life shit.
Real life shit. No. You know, there's blading, which is obviously taking a blade to your head.
Yes.
Or there's hard way.
Yes.
Just to explain the technical terms. And they made it look like it was hard way. Because the way Piper had his fist, like, he made it look like, because he made sure not to show the fact that he had the blade in his hand.
Yeah.
Which
just, blading as a whole is just a, like, not fun, but it's an interesting, like, if you really did a deep dive in blading and, like, how they do it and, like, to make it safe, but it's also not that great for you. And blading's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's good that they don't do it anymore, and I understand why they don't do it anymore. But some people are obviously better at it than others. You watch some of those Attitude Era matches, it's like they're on the camera fucking doing it almost.
Yes, exactly. But, no, like, they were able to hide it, and it was fantastic. I mean, I'm actually going to say classic on this one because I really did enjoy this match.
I go classic, too.
What do you think? I'm going to say classic.
We agree. All right, let's do an eight-man. Big Boss Man, Virgil, Sarge, and Jim Duggan against the Nasty Boys, Repo Man, and the Mountie. I thought this match had no business being as cool as it was. But I like everybody there, so I thought it was cool. Everyone there, this is sports entertainment.
I'm a fan of everybody in this match except for Virgil and the Mountie.
But I even love Mountie, because Mountie was a great heel.
Mountie was a great gimmick, though.
Yeah, great gimmick, great heel. If you want to get heat on you, you get the Mountie.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, he was a great gimmick, and I just thought it was fun. Ray Combs doing the introduction at the beginning of the match, that was funny when he was insulting the heels, and then when they tried to kill him.
Yeah, and I think Virgil was just a good storyline, but anything that didn't have Ted DiBiase in it, he didn't need to be a part of it.
Right. Now, originally, Duggan and Slaughter were not supposed to be in this match.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be Owen Hart and Jim Neidhart. Neidhart fucked up, so Owen got punished by being put later on with Skinner. This match, it did not really... You could have found other stuff for these guys to do. According to the WWF magazine... There was supposed to be a six-man. It was supposed to be the Nasty Boys and Repo versus Boss Man, Bulldog, and Virgil. I'm not lying. And Duggan and Slaughter were supposed to get the tag title shots. Yes. And I actually think Mountie and Virgil were scheduled for a single.
Really?
I believe so. The magazine's upstairs. I really didn't have time to get it or else I'd be reading from it. But I'm pretty sure that's what this, so this may have been the lesser of a couple of evils.
Yeah, I'm fine with the mashup. I thought this was very good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was fun. I love the spot where...
It was a fun match.
I love the spot where Repo's jumping on Boss Man's back and the Boss Man just turns around and uppercuts Repo right in the plums.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
No, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, where he just turns around and he's like, ah! And Repo's like, ayo! So you would say very good?
I would.
For an entertainment aspect, I would agree with you.
Okay.
What do you think, Eric?
Very good. It was entertaining. I mean,
yeah.
Randy Savage and Ric Flair, one of my favorite storylines of all time. I liked it in WCW. I liked it here. I love the idea of, I mean, because Flair really is just like a schmooze. Like, he's one of the, not a schmooze, but like, he's just like a dick. Like, he's the guy at the bar that's going to hit on your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And everyone knows. So I love that they did that with him and Elizabeth all the time. And he was like, oh, I can show you a better life. Like, I'm the biggest. You can be flying on the jet with me. I'll take you to Space Mountain. Like, I love this storyline. And both guys could work really good. This is a classic match to me. And one of Flair's last classic matches, to be honest.
I really love this match. This is why this is one of my favorite WrestleManias.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say classic just for like, and Randy's promo after.
Yeah. It was such a heartfelt moment. It should have been the main event. It was so good.
Oh, yeah. I was glad this wasn't the main event.
The fact that the WWE Championship went on six was just a little nuts, but
yeah.
But that's Hogan for you. So we all agree classic?
Oh, absolutely. It was my favorite match on the card. I love watching my main matches.
I mean, and just it's just a combination for success. Babyface Macho versus, even though I like heel Macho too, but Babyface Macho versus heel Ric Flair, that's just my God, you too. How many tubes do we have? Tatanka and Rick Martel. All
right, I'm probably going to get shit for this.
Yeah.
But I'm going to defend this match.
Oh, God.
And the reason why I'm going to defend this match is because a lot of people say, oh, you know, it was just kind of, you know, shitty. It was kind of there. This was Tatanka's debut. I thought these two actually had really good chemistry.
Yeah.
Okay. And I kind of liked Martel being the one.
Well, I love the model shit.
Yeah. Well, the model, I think, was his best gimmick. But I love the fact that Martel helped get this guy over.
Yeah.
I mean, Bobby Heenan's commentary during this match, by the way, would not fly today.
Really?
Okay. Have you ever gone up to Tatanka and introduced yourself? And Gorilla's like, yes. He goes, did you do it properly? Yes. Did you go up to him and go, hey, how are you? Yeah. Hey, how are you? it was like, you would not be able to get away with that shit.
Yeah, different time.
But, again, I thought the commentary was good during this match, you know, especially after Heenan was finally able to, you know, regroup after his guy just lost the title. But I'm going to say that this match, again, I know you guys aren't going to agree with me, and that's fine, but I'm going to say this match was very good for being less than 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, I'd agree.
Good?
I'd say it was very good.
Okay.
I liked it. I'll say average. Even though I liked it, I'll still say average.
Yeah, because you want to keep your ass out of the fire. But very good, since that's what you and I said, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Natural Disasters against Money, Inc. This
garbage.
Was trash. Babyface Natural Disaster should have never been a thing. It made no fucking sense, and it's just stupid. And I always hated it. I love Money, Inc., and I love both teams, but they should never have ever wrestled each other. It makes no sense. They're two of the top heel teams. This sucked. It's garbage. It's trash. I love all four guys, but it's trash.
Absolutely.
I mean, you pretty much just said it. I mean, it was supposed to be natural disasters versus LOD in a street fight. But Hawk got popped for...
And then they turned natural disasters heel, right?
Or they turned him babyface because they figured they're like, okay, there's no fucking way in hell that, you know, Duggan and Slaughter belong in the tag team title shot. So we got to turn these two big bastards babyface, even though they have no business being babyface.
I don't know, though. I would have loved more of that team. I think that's the most America team there's ever been, Slaughter and Duggan. But, yeah, this was
true. Well, this is what the company was thinking at the time. I love Duggan.
Yeah,
so him getting a title shot at a WrestleMania,
yeah.
I'm cool with.
Yeah.
It's just, this match was, it was trash. Wasn't that good. There's no reason why the natural disasters should sell for these guys. And to have it end on a count out?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
Now let's get them some more trash.
I didn't like the count out result.
I love Owen Hart. I love Owen Hart. I've said my piece about Skinner. Which, Skinner, the guy himself, Steve Kern was actually a really good wrestler in the territories.
Exactly.
But Skinner was not it. And I fucking hate the gimmick. I've always hated the gimmick. I don't like Skinner. Owen Hart tried, but this was only a minute, so.
And by the way, this match should have been used to get Owen over. Owen had one move.
He still won.
Yeah. He had one move, which was that roll-up. And then a drop kick after.
Yeah.
After the bell. But Skinner basically dominated the match till Owen got the win. No.
I agree.
You should have given us Bulldog and Berserker.
Yeah.
Instead.
No, absolutely.
So I'm going to agree and say trash. Even though I love Owen Hart and Skinner, you know, I do kind of have a soft spot for the guy.
But this is trash.
Oh,
Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, trash.
All right. Main event, last
match.
Match
is over before I even watched it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Main event, last match on the card, last match we're doing. Sid Justice and Hulk Hogan. Harvey's with Sid. Whippleman. Meh.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, the finish got fucked up because Papa Shango missed his cue.
I said that's my favorite part of the match. Poor Papa. And it's funny because Papa Shango, I loved the character and I was terrified of him as a kid. And I was always terrified.
Oh, me too.
And I remember being so scared. And then you showed me this match and I saw the look on his face. And it's like, oh, this is just regular guy. Because Shango, I love Charles Wright?
Yeah, Godfather.
I love Godfather. I love Charles Wright. I love Papa Shango. But he had the look on his face when he ran out, like, oh, fuck, I just fucked this up. He was, like, shit in his pants. Like, he didn't look menacing or scary anymore. He was just like, oh, shit, I got to fucking get my big ass to the ring.
And here's my conspiracy theory, right? This was going to be Hogan's last match for a while because he was going to go film a movie. He wasn't technically retiring, but he was going to go away for a little bit.
Yeah.
Hogan, you cannot tell me that Hogan did not want to go over clean here.
He definitely did.
All right. So even though they had the plan where it's just like they're going to bring Warrior back and all that, which is what they did, obviously, he came out and he helped Hogan, which I actually thought was a cool moment as a kid.
It was.
You cannot tell me that, like, Hogan did not go up to Papa Shango and be like, all right, you know your time. He probably gave him the wrong fucking time here. So he could go over clean. But he didn't count on Sid calling an audible and being like, fuck this, and kicking out of the leg drop. He figured Sid would do the job for him because he's all fucking Hogan.
If there's anyone with a bigger ego than Hulk Hogan,
it's Sid.
Yeah.
I find Sid hilarious. I love the wiffle ball champion or softball champion.
Yeah.
Sid Justice is hilarious. And he really took a stab at this match.
There was an audio out there. When I was on the THT show, they played it. Sid no-showed a convention because he's famous for that.
Yeah.
He no-showed a convention, and the guys called him the day of the convention. He picked up his phone, which was stupid. Or no, Sid called them and said, hey, I'm not coming. And he blamed it on Trump because something was going on. Trump did something stupid. And he's just like, oh, yeah. And then he's just like, oh, yeah, you know, the gas prices are too high. I can't. They're like, Sid, we booked you a flight. And it's just like him just trying to come. And these guys are debunking the excuses. And he's just like,
did softball ever come into play?
I don't know if they ever mentioned it. They're like, oh, what time's your softball game, Sid? Oh, that'll be later. Hopefully I'll be able to make that. He's fucking hilarious. And another funny story about him is that he was in a bar. He had just joined the company. In a bar. And WCW guys came walking in. One of those guys happened to be Brian Pillman, who Sid almost killed a few months earlier, by the way, you know, by botching a powerbomb. So Brian starts poking fun at Sid because, you know, it makes sense. Brian's 5'8", 5'9". Sid's about 6'10".
Well, I mean, Pillman's also known for having balls of steel, too.
Exactly. So, like, he's picking on Sid. So Sid's just like, hold on, I'll be right back. I'm going to go get a weapon to make it fair because Brian broke a beer bottle. So he's like, all right, I'm going to get a weapon. He came back with a squeegee.
Who won the fight?
Pillman actually backed down. He's just like, I can't do this. Like, this is... Because then Hawk and Animal were with Sid. And they're just like, big man, this is going to be too embarrassing for you. Like,
put down the squeegee.
And then I think one of them said to Brian, they're just like, please don't do this to him. The company wants him to be a big star. And because Brian was friends with Mike and Joe, he's just like, you know what? I'm out of here. But no, Sid is just, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, Charles Wright and how funny it was to see, you know, the look on his face. But just Sid overall is a human being.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He's hilarious. And him kicking out of the leg drop, which I'm sure pissed Hogan off. Because this was not a good way for Hogan to go out, by the way. This shit match. I mean, I'm saying below average. I don't know about you guys.
I say average.
Yeah, I go below average, too. This is a pretty weak main event.
When you could have easily put Savage and Flair in this slot. But
Hulk Hogan! That's my farewell match. It's my farewell match, brother. I got to go over it. Fuck you.
Number six doesn't work for me, brother. Put Savage.
Yeah.
Poor Randy. Poor fucking Randy. In his career.
This is why Randy talks so much shit about him.
Well, you can't believe he ruined his whole career.
Yeah.
Not ruined. I mean, Randy's still the greatest, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
If you look at, like, his career and how much it was affected by Hogan's selfishness, it's a little hard to...
I 100% agree with that. I do have to say, though, like you know, we did WrestleMania 3, this is WrestleMania 8. Only 5-year difference, right? Yep. You look at, there wasn't a lot of guys that were on the 3 card that were also on the 8 card.
Not just Hogan, Savage.
Hogan, Savage, Jake, Tito, Brett, Piper. Duggan was at 3, but he wasn't necessarily on the card.
Ricky,
Hogan, Savage,
Rick Martel,
Jake, Brett, Piper, Rick Martel, Mountie, because he was Jack Rougeau at the time, and
well, Jimmy Hart, obviously.
So not that many.
No.
What a difference! If 5 years really isn't that big of a difference. Especially in that era. But Jesus. And this was technically, this was almost considered the end of the golden era.
Yeah. I can see why.
because a lot of these guys were gone.
Yeah.
I mean, Tito basically, he was still there for a while after, but I mean, he was basically just going to be used to do jabs.
I mean, 92 is one of the best years in pro wrestling. There's this 93 now.
No, we're in, this is 92.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of my favorite years. A lot of people say, oh, there's too much scandal and too much, you know.
There was a lot of good shit, though.
I think so.
Saturday Night was great, even though no one watched, but it was still great, and this stuff was cool, so.
No, I love it. This is one of my all-time favorite WrestleManias because, again, this is still golden era to me.
Mm-hmm.
Savage and Flair was awesome. Bret and Piper was awesome. Yes, there was some shit on here, but
there's shit everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, boys, you want to go home?
Yeah.
Yep. No.
This was part two of our WrestleMania match rankings. We're going to keep doing this later down the line, obviously.
Yeah.
But this is a lot of fun, and we'll be back, and we'll see everybody next week to go over the Undertaker's undefeated streak.
Yeah, which, again, we probably will bring up Jake Roberts again, because obviously we do have to talk about it as it's part of the streak.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, this was fun. I mean, I'm glad we did the tier rankings. Because again, like you get to see, you know, how everybody think, you know, what everybody thinks of these WrestleMania matches and if they really rank up there as some of the best.
All right, guys, we'll see everybody next time and enjoy your weekend.
Later.
Later, guys.